And welcome as well, Mark. Good to see you here. Over the years, knowing Mark, he's always had that warm smile when you meet him. Blessing to see. So, and welcome to Leon's and Irvin's as well. Looks like made up your mind to come. So, welcome, Leon. This morning, I would have a few words to share here. I went maybe a little different than I have in the past here, but this is born from a burden that I've had on my heart here of recent, just seeing the need in our land in the day that we live for men to be strong. I know that what I have to share here, some of the things I have to share here don't pertain to us, but I would like to encourage us as fathers and young men today. This will be geared toward us, but also I would have a few words for the mothers as well. A song that I would like you turn to 352. This was what I was thinking, and it's been an inspiration to me. But I was looking into who wrote that, and as I pondered on the words there, there's just a lot packed in the few words there. But the man that wrote it, William Pearson Merrill, was a Presbyterian minister in 1911. He wrote it while aboard a steamboat on Lake Michigan. So with that, maybe someday Brother Marlon and Brother Jerry will have a song for us we can pass on to the next generation. So his burden was to have over 100 years ago. But how much greater is that need than it was 100 plus years ago? Be about 120 some years there, approximately. And just the words here, the exhortation to rise up, being done with lesser things, giving heart and soul, mind and strength to serve the King of Kings. Rise up, O men of God, his kingdom tarries long. Bring in the day of brotherhood and end the night of wrong. Rise up, O men of God, the church for you doth wait. Her strength unequal to her task, rise up and make her great. Lift high the cross of Christ, tread where his feet have trod. As brothers of the Son of Man, rise up, O men of God. For an opening scripture, we could turn to Matthew 24. Verse 12. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. I'd like to tie in Matthew 22, verse 37 here with that. Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. The first and great commandment, the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. And that verse comes from Deuteronomy 6. You don't have to turn to all these if you don't want to, but just flip back there quick. When Moses was writing this for the children of Israel, he said, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And just thinking that first verse of the song, our duty, the whole duty of man, is to love the Lord with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And with that,
that affects our lives, it affects our homes, and those around us that we interact with. The verse there in Matthew 24, when Jesus was sharing that because of iniquity abounding, the love of many shall wax cold. The dearth in the land, I guess, if you will, the famine. There's many homes here in America and even elsewhere in the world, but because we live here, this is how we can relate. But the homes that are broken, where the fathers are, whether they're incarcerated, whether they're away from home, excessive work life, those kind of things, the children grow up and they don't have the father figure in their home. And then the mothers try to do that, and their responsibility is very necessary, very needed, but we weren't created to do it alone. I see my young children and how much they look up to their daddy. It's pretty humbling to see that and realize that I have many needs myself. Moving on there to verse 2. Rise up, O men of God, his kingdom tarries long. Bring in the day of brotherhood and end the night of wrong. Psalm 133, we're all familiar, I think, with that one. But I thought of that in light of brotherhood. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like a precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garment, as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. And the speaking of the day of brotherhood, for us as a new congregation here, we've been experiencing this, but we need that. It speaks of strength. And ending the night of wrong, if we as men and fathers don't lead out in our homes and we're not vigilant against the evil around us, it creeps into our homes. I think of the quote, evil prevails when weak men do nothing. And I know that you can take that different ways, but when evil men run society, that prevails, that comes through, and God wants us to rise up, to quit like men and to be strong. In Ephesians 6:10 there, just the encouragement to the brotherhood to be strong in the Lord, the power of his might. That goes on into the armor, the spiritual battle. Brother Leroy was sharing last Sunday on the target of the Christian. And it's a reality. If we step out in faith to follow Jesus, we will be targeted. And we can take courage, though, because if there is no fight, then we don't have, there's no resistance, then I don't think we have what it takes to endure till the end in the warfare. The third one there, rise up, O men of God, the church for you doth wait, her strength unequal to her task. Rise up and make her great. Just thinking of that, the need is there. And I know that we've had heard a lot here the past week of some things that have been going on there with the Graver brothers and the likes, and it's just... it's not just them, but it's sobering. And to see see that going around us. I think of the society that we live in the United States. We have pretty much the largest prison population in the entire world, and that alone, it just seems like there's an undermining of the father figure in the home. You can take a man, you can lock him up for his entire life, but it will never break his heart. And the invitation there was, the church is waiting. Her strength is unequal to her task. Rise up and make her great. And for myself, I think at times, you know, the little part that I have, you know, what difference does it make? What difference can I make in society? And we're all familiar with the story of the boy on the shore with the sea stars. And just the heart he had there was, each one made a difference. And that should be our goal as well. We're not going to change the world, but we can have an effect on our little portion where we're at. I missed the part here. I was going to turn to Ephesians 4:16, speaking on the previous verse there of brotherhood. I will read the two verses prior, but this is speaking of the gifts and the body here. But that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted, by that which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working, the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. I wanted to read that there earlier and I missed it, but verse 2 is speaking of brotherhood and encouragement to us, that we all have a part. We can all participate. We can all make a difference. And 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13, it says, watch ye therefore, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, or another word for quit is to be brave. Be brave like men, be strong. Let all things be done with charity. And we could go on there. But the call there, and the reason I'm emphasizing, I guess, that is that we as men, we have a greater responsibility. We could go on into marriage, husbands loving your wives, as Christ loved the church. There's a lot placed on us, but that's how God made us, and by his grace, we can carry that responsibility. I was also thinking back to Jason's message on fathers there, on Father's Day. Just the aspect of time and equivalent to love with children. If we make time for them, they remember that. But if we find ourselves too busy, then maybe we should slow down and take heed, because they tend to copy those things. And I know we know these things, I guess. It's just an encouragement to all of us, including myself. I was also pondering on some statistics, just in the absence of fathers in the United States since 1973, when abortion was legalized. There was between 64 and 66 million babies have been murdered. And in 2025, there was 1,126,000 just in the U.S. And if you look globally, I think there's over 8 million a year or something like that. But there again, because of iniquity, the love of many shall wax cold. And we see that just with everything going on around us, there's a falling away, so to speak. I know some of you older brothers can share back, you know, back in the day, there was generally more church attendance with congregations in America as well as other places. But if we don't pass the burden on to our children, where will they grab a hold of that? And it's hard to fathom those numbers. I just think of the judgment of God that's waiting, and someday that vengeance will be poured out. But we have that where young women, young men are not married, and then there's children, and they can't take care of them, don't want to, and there's no teaching there. But may God help us. And I know that we're taught otherwise, but I think it helps us to. For myself, I guess it helps us to see what's around us, and there's nothing to be offered there. Malachi 4, verse 5 and 6, "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, and he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children and the heart of the children to the fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse." And we've often heard that scripture shared, but the responsibility falls back on us, turning the hearts of the fathers to the children. Without that, there won't be the proper turning of the hearts of the children to their fathers. And the promise was, "Lest I come and smite the earth with a curse." And I don't know how much of that we're experiencing, but if we don't have our hearts turned toward our children in the home, then we're very likely not going to have our children's hearts as well as they grow older. And there's some in here that have been through that. Their children are now married, and I'm not speaking as one that has attained, but pressing forward. And I just want to encourage each of you mothers, and even the young ladies here that are either not married or not mothers yet, but that motherhood is a precious gift. And it can be easy to think that you're tied down at home. Day by day, you have the smudges and the, you know, the little hands reaching, and it can be overwhelming. But at the same time, you have a great impact on the lives of the young children. And it, when you think about how it starts in the womb and the bond that's formed there, we know there's no way that you can justify a termination of that like society does. But that bond, I was just sharing with my wife last night, that bond that develops in the womb, it does something. Each child leaves behind a mark on their mother, and whatever happens, that mark is left, and the mother takes it with her to her grave. And I just think we often hear the love of a mother. There's a bond there that you can't separate. It's there till death. And we've heard the quote often, "Behind every successful man is a good wife." And I know that can be maybe a more of a modern term there, but I think of men that succeed in life, and I'm not just referring to business, because there's many businesses that succeed and there's broken relationships, but it takes both of us. And without a loving wife by your side, it's pretty hard and pretty much impossible to raise a family. And I know at times there's fathers, husbands, mothers, wives that pass away, and they could relate that to us. But just to treasure the moments that we have with our family. There was a few statistics here I wanted to just to share and give us an idea. I spoke of incarceration earlier. And it's just given me some things to ponder on here, but this is on the United States here. I won't read it all, but there's roughly 1.9, which would be 1,900,000 incarcerated in the U.S. Breaks it down to the federal, state, local, juvenile, correctional facilities. The cost to incarcerate these nearly 2 million people each year comes at $445 billion per year. And part of that was, I was thinking of how a lot of things in the land that we live are done for profit. Unfortunately, this is one of those things that's a big revenue generator for the people behind these facilities and an incentive for them to keep it going. But in China, with close to 1 billion people, there's less people in prison there than here. And I just think with 300 some million here and the disparity of population, there's a great need. And these children that are coming up, they don't have something to turn to. There's other countries here that it compares to. Brazil is a pretty large country. India is a pretty large country. 900,000 in Brazil, 500,000 in India. Then it breaks it down, you know, just statewide, but half of Americans have an immediate family member incarcerated. Researchers found at any given day in America, 2.7 million children have a parent in prison or jail, according to the Sentencing Project. More than 5.2 million children have had a parent incarcerated during their childhoods. It's pretty sobering. The rate of suicide, depression, just murders in general. There again, you know, the lack of young men stepping up to the plate for the next generation, the lack of older men in their lives, and it ends up in a broken cycle. And the circle repeats itself. Children grow up, and that's what they know. And the last verse here, lift high the cross of Christ, tread where his feet have trod. As brothers of the Son of Man, rise up, O men of God. And just the simple aspect of following the path of Jesus, treading where his feet have trod, being willing to suffer for his name, as brothers of the Son of Man, rise up. And that's my exhortation to us this morning. The question I would like to leave with you is, will you and I rise up and make the church great? So with that, just turn the time over and wish you the Lord's blessings.